I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
Due to the pandemic, we bring you One Bad Mother straight from our homes, including such interruptions as children, animal noises, and more. So let's all get a little closer while we have to be so far apart. And remember, we are doing a good job. This week on One Bad Mother, how about we don't? We talk to author Julie Vick about being an introvert while parenting. Plus, Biz has a horrible realization.
Woo! Hi. I'm calling with a check-in. I started a new job recently.
Woo!
And I really love it. And I haven't quit my old job yet, but I haven't decided when or if I'm actually going to quit the old job. I'm lucky that I can have two jobs and still see my kids. I'm off one job for the summer. It's complicated. I won't bother you. But this morning at breakfast, my husband and I were talking about how our three-year-old is having a hard time adjusting. She's gone down to like a part-time schedule at daycare instead of full-time, since with the new job, I'm home more, except for on 3 days of the week. And he goes, I don't want to guilt you. I don't mean to guilt you. But I think she misses you. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
Quite sure. Okay, yeah. I'm sure she does miss me because I'm missing bedtime. I miss her, too. We're not in a place where I can just not work.
Right.
And I'd rather work in a job that I like. I mean, if I have to be away from my kids, my three-year-old and 18-month-old, I would like to enjoy what I'm doing at least. I don't mean to guilt you. That's all I'm doing. Anyway, I'm driving to my new job that I like. Bye.
Okay. First of all, you're doing a great job. This was a great check-in. Congratulations on having a job that you enjoy. And you're right. Everything else sounds very complicated in terms of two jobs and no job in the summer, whatever. I'm with you. It sounds like that's really great for you. That's awesome. Now, let's talk about the language issue. Guys, wording is important. I am sure that your partner was not trying to guilt you. I am going to go with their statement that they are not trying to guilt you. However, that wording is loaded with guilt. I was like, you know, look, we all kind of fail at that. And I think depending on where we're from, the kind of language we grew up around, I can see how she misses you are the best words that they could come up with at that moment. Yet other words could be the schedule has been disrupted. Our child is definitely feeling that, but I'm happy to step in and create a new routine with our child so that you can enjoy going to work without worrying about it too much. That's a healthier way to put it, because missing you is an unsolvable problem outside of quitting. And that's not like an option many of us have. It's so funny. This is going to totally relate to what I'm going to talk about in my check-in later. So I just want you to know that I think you're amazing. You know, we got enough to feel guilty about. There's actually really no controlling sometimes what we do feel guilty about. So none of that's helpful. You're doing an amazing job, and congratulations on your job. And guess what? Everybody is actually fine at home. So, woo! Thank you for calling. And now it is time for thank yous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, everyone in the medical profession, above and beyond. That's what's going on here. You guys are going above and beyond. I want to thank librarians for keeping books in our hands all summer and offering programs to help us get through the summer. I want to thank everybody who works in transportation. Hey, school bus drivers, you're back. I see you. Thank you. Because that is a job. And you got to carry around potentially a whole bunch of young and vaccinated kids. So I really see you and I appreciate the care that you are putting in and giving to our kids. Sanitation workers, I don't think there's ever been a time in the history of your service that you shouldn't be thanked. You should be thanked. That is hard work, keeping all of the dirt and filth that we tend to just shed all over the place. I appreciate you. IT, you're doing it. You're helping us stay running. I appreciate it. Teachers, you're back. School staff, you're back. School nurses, you're back. This is not an easy time to be back. And I appreciate that you are. And I appreciate the stress and the fact that there still really isn't an easy choice when it comes to being in or out of the classroom and a lot of the demands that are being placed on you right now. So I see you. And finally, vaccines. Thank you, everybody who has gotten a vaccine. I cannot emphasize enough that we need even more people to get vaccines. And let's be kind about that. Just because somebody hasn't gotten a vaccine doesn't mean they're a complete jerk. There's a lot of misinformation out there. Some people don't have access, right? Sometimes people can't go in to get the vaccine because they have like three little kids in their house that are under the age of three. Sometimes we can't even get to the grocery store in that scenario. Some people might think it costs money, even though it doesn't. There are a lot of reasons that could be going on as to why somebody has not gotten vaccinated yet. Let's try and think of it as not vaccinated yet versus everybody who's not vaccinated willfully not getting vaccinated. Let's go out, help each other, and be supportive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here is my check-in. I had this moment walking through the house last night. I was very tired. Like many of you know, we've been moving my folks out here, and I have spent the last couple of days unboxing and setting up furniture and all that kind of fun stuff. It has been an absolute thrill to see my parents with my kids. That's been the fucking best. But I'm tired. And the kids, when I get home, don't really care. And work doesn't really care. And, you know, pickup times don't care. You know, like all the stuff is still there. And then I had that moment where guys, I should have had this moment. Why is this a moment that comes so late for us? But it's that moment where I realized that I'm really not gonna get it back. I'm really not going to get back the bandwidth or the space that I had before kids got in my house. To add anything for myself is like adding to what already exists. And I think I was thinking that adding something meant replacing something, like taking something away, not adding to. It's like having dessert, but having not left any room for it. And then having to decide if you really want to eat it. But it's my favorite thing. It would be so nice to have this dessert. I have literally no room to eat this thing. And, you know, don't worry. I had a big long talk with my therapist about it today. And I know it's about boundaries. And I know that as new choices come along that I want to make, like our caller who checked in, there's going to be a lot of guilt tied in with that as to having to make clearer boundaries to the members of my family so that I can do the different things that I have put off for a while. So that's a great realization. I mean, it's not a happy one. I'm actually really pissed about it, and I'm just gonna sit in it in like a sad way for like maybe another 24 hours and then move along. So there you go. Speaking of sitting alone in a room for 24 hours, that's a dream that we all have. And I think that ties in nicely to what we're going to talk about today, which is what it's like to be an introvert while parenting with author Julie Bick.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
This week, we are talking to Julie Bick, who is a writer whose work has appeared in New Yorker Daily Shouts, Parents Magazine, Real Simple, and one of my favorites, McSweeney's Internet Tendency. She teaches writing at the University of Colorado Denver and is the author of the new book, Babies Don't Make Small Talk, So Why Should I? A humorous advice book for introverted parents navigating the early years of parenthood. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It's really nice to have you here. Before we get into all things introvert and parenting, I want to ask you, who lives in your house?
Okay, yeah, sure. So me, obviously, and then my husband, Dave, and I have two boys who are 7 and 9 years old, and we have 2 3-month-old kittens as well named Biscuit and Muffin.
Oh!
Yes, I know. They actually have longer names than that, which I forget, but I think it's Muffin Squirrel and Biscuit Link Minecraft are their full names. Yes.
I like to throw like a Sir Biscuit, yeah, you know, McStuffin Puff, right? Or yeah, President. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
That, I want a kitten so bad.
I know,
except
they're
kittens
very cute.
Are like also
yeah,
crazy.
But they are also crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
They are. I like the old cat at the like shelter that's like, look, let's just agree. We're both going to just live in the same house. I'm like, no, no.
I know. We were initially going to get older ones, but my kids, like,
oh, yeah.
they really want the kittens. And, like, a lot of the older ones are like, no kids.
Yeah, no kids. They're like, our agreement.
Can't handle your kids.
Like, that's right. Our agreement is I sit in your house with you.
Yeah.
Not with wild
yes,
children.
Not with children.
Yeah. Well, I think that's absolutely amazing. Good job. 7 and 9. Mm-hmm. That's something.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's going all right, you know? I mean,
she says from the inside of a closet.
I'm in a closet, which is like the perfect place for me to hide. Yeah, you know, as you know, like this past year and change with pandemic has been really hard. And we've been during the school year, we bounced in and out of remote. And this year, I think, fingers crossed, we're going to start. But now I feel like the whole anxiety is back again, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, what's going to happen with Delta? Is it going to shut it down? Is
oh, my
it,
God.
Yeah, like,
people
we don't
need
really
to
know.
Stop it.
Yeah.
We need to not fuck this up for us.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Yes.
That's what I think all parents are thinking.
A damn shot. Like,
yeah. Well, like, come on.
Come on, please, God.
I know. So.
I would like to just say, how has the last year been for you as an introvert? But before I ask that question, I am obviously not an introvert.
Right.
I can safely say that. I definitely enjoy downtime and alone time. And children have probably maybe swung the pendulum, as it were, at times.
Right, right.
But I know that at my core, I am not. So.
Right.
In case anybody else out there doesn't really understand the introvert experience.
Right.
Because they're spending too much time like me running around and wondering why people won't play with them.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Talk to me about what it means to be an introvert.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And I think it's like causes confusion sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially like the difference between introversion and shyness. But so I think as an introverted personality, you just have a preference for quieter, calmer environments. and you get drained by social interactions. Yeah. Whereas like an extrovert draws energy from social interactions and from sort of like external stimulation. So that's at the core of like introvert versus extrovert. And some people are ambiverts. So they're sort of in the middle, yeah. right? And then shyness, I think, gets kind of mixed in there. And I also would say that I am shy. So some introverts are shy, but some are not. So shyness is more about feeling anxious in social situations or fearing sort of negative judgment, I think. Mm. So, and then sometimes social anxiety disorder is a more sort of extreme version of shyness.
All right. Well, then let me ask my question again. How has the pandemic been for you as an introvert?
Yeah, I know. So it's funny because I think it hasn't, I think, you know, I don't know because I'm not extroverted, but I think in some ways it has been easier because I do fine with a lot of sort of home time and alone time, although I do still like to socialize, you know, with some friends.
Occasionally see a human face.
Yeah, I do occasionally still, you know, just because you're an introvert doesn't mean you don't ever want to see anyone.
Right.
So, like, I have missed, especially, I mean, it's gotten a bit better this summer. I feel like, you know, we've been able to do a bit more, but I did miss being able to, you know, go and hang out with good friends and things like that. So I think initially when things shut down, I felt kind of like, this is kind of nice. Yeah. Like, I don't mind it. And plus just as a parent, like we're so overscheduled a lot of the times and driving people around and doing this and that.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of nice to have a break from that initially.
Yeah.
But then, like I think, you know, Zoom gets old and it's not the same as talking to someone.
Yeah, but I gotta say also, you can like being at home and doing home things.
Uh-huh.
But I like doing at home things by myself.
Yeah.
And suddenly I have my partner, he's working from home, and my two children, lovely as they may be, are home, and three cats.
Right.
And like, I think that sensation for me was, oh my God, there is no place.
Yeah.
I can go. Like, there's, you know, there's no place.
Yeah, this is a good point. Like, I think that was really hard, especially with remote school and when we were in that. And both my husband and I were working from home. So then you just know you're never alone.
Never.
Yeah.
Never
like,
alone.
I know there's a lot of, there's some articles about, you know, escaping to your car to like eat sushi or something. Yeah.
I gotta tie that in very quickly to your book.
Yeah.
So, you just came out with this really fantastic new book, Babies Don't Make Small Talk, So Why Should I? The Introvert's Guide to Surviving Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And there's lots in here. But one of my the parts that had me rolling, and I'm not a professional book interviewer, author interviewer. Yes. I jump around and I give away the plot right away.
That's fine.
It was the butler. But you've got this like little section on travel reviews of everyday parent getaways.
Mm-hmm.
And this was so relevant during the pandemic. So you've got like the different places you can go to be by yourself with star ratings as if it was a travel guide. So there's like the closet that gets two stars. The laundry room gets three. Pumping gas. But the one that made me roll was under the bed gets you 4.5 stars. It says, not the best hiding spot when you've got a crawling baby, but this getaway is great for parents of slightly older children, especially if their kids are afraid of monsters.
Yes.
Spot on. And what's great is I'm like, all right. That's actually a really good idea. I mean, I'm just going to lay there, like with my arms kind of like spread out. There's like, no, but that actually sounds kind of nice.
I know.
No one will know.
It's like, maybe it's satirical, but maybe not. You can actually try it out. Yeah, yeah.
90%.
Yeah. I know. I am in a closet literally right now recording it.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
So talk to me about writing the book. I mean, there really isn't. There's something about you have kids. Somehow kids get in your house.
Somehow, a lot of different ways.
Sometimes I'm like, did that one just come through the crawl space? I don't even know where that one came from. And I don't think we're prepared, or anybody even talks about like just the social obligations alone that suddenly come up that like you never thought you had to do. I mean, it's just like another reminder that you have like possibly lost control of having any say to what goes on in your life.
Yeah, right.
So talk to me about getting into this book.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting because like, I think there is a lot of stuff about introversion out there, but not as much about parents specifically. And so it was an interesting process writing it because I think I went back to some, like Susan Cain's book, Quiet is a famous book on introversion, and some of the sort of things that can be more challenging for you. And I think it made me realize, like, one was noise. Like, obviously, I think annoying noises are probably annoying for no matter, you know, if you're an extrovert or introvert, there's probably some noises that annoy you. But I think that is like a trigger point for me when things are getting really loud and or certain, you know, noises over and over again, and just realizing. So through the process of writing it, I think I realized some sort of trigger points for me, which are maybe good to know about, you know, like I think I sort of knew it, but I was like, maybe this is what I need to cut back on a bit more, being sort of overstimulated. So it was interesting. I feel like, you know, through writing it, I did like learn some more things. And then you're right, the social obligation. I mean, it is interesting. I think that's something that I didn't think about at all. Yeah. It's just you change, you know, like you, it's such a big change to go through, and you're meeting new people just by the nature of it and trying to navigate, you know, new friendships and different parenting styles and who your kids want to hang out with. Versus who you want to hang out with.
Yeah, versus who you might want to hang out with.
Yeah, it doesn't always match up, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, so I think it's definitely just a lot. And I think it's something I hadn't fully thought about or read a lot about. So I think it's hopefully something that, you know, kind of adds to that conversation.
Well, you know, like all things I love, it's very funny.
Yeah.
But the best humor comes from a place of honesty. And it's not just the social obligations. It's really everything is suddenly there to push buttons you didn't know you had, to push boundaries you didn't know you had. You know, you can have really extroverted kids. You can have, you know, a partner who doesn't need the same like thing to rejuvenate or refill.
Right.
And, you know, noise is a great example. Even I'm an extrovert. I don't get stimulated by noise. In fact, there are times where, you know, somebody drops a pot and I have my claws in the ceiling like a cat, you know?
Yeah, right.
And you're just like, I got it by noise.
Yeah.
Touching.
Right. Yes.
Touching, I think human touch is both good and a lot.
Yeah, I think the like being touched out thing is big, right? Just it's especially when you have little kids and they're just hanging on you all day. And I think there's maybe been more of that with the pandemic, more sort of, you know, kids wanting to cling a bit more.
No, I 100% agree. And again, it's like this constant pivoting of what you have space for, what you have to push to give more space for, and then what you need to push back on. I want to talk about some of the places you can go as an introvert to maybe find space. And so like, it would be very easy for me to be like, well, if you're introverted, because I'm a total asshole and that's what I sound like.
Yeah.
Introverted, then you can just go online. That must be so nice. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I've been online before.
Yeah.
It's an unfriendly, horrible place.
Right.
Except for the One Bad Mother community. You're wonderful.
Yeah, your community is really nice. Yes.
But well, we struggle.
Yeah,
we struggle.
Yeah.
But we all try. The goal is we're trying.
Yeah.
But those early days when you didn't know where to go. I was in Brooklyn with my first kid, and that place was an infamous, like, place for, like, parent message boards and these parenting groups where people just chat on each other. All day. And that's also a form of noise. That's also a form of intrusion.
Yeah.
But you've got amazing insight into the online groups. You have a section.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rules for online parenting forum Fight Club.
Yeah.
Which is so good. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, like you said, you know, parenting group, you know, online parenting groups can be really, like, awful and sort of, you know, fights erupting all the time.
Yeah.
But I think there are, you know, ones that are better or a better fit. Maybe they're smaller. Maybe yeah. they're more. I know there's one specifically for, like, introverted parents. They're, you know, or specifically for working parents or yeah. a certain job.
Oh, yeah. You can. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and for me, like, writing groups are some that I'm in. But so I think, like, it's kind of choosing the right one for you if you're going to delve into it. And you probably are going to delve into it somewhat, you know, in this day and age.
It's better than Google, asking Google questions. Sometimes it's better to, like, go into a group and see what people are talking about. But
Right. And I think it is a place for people to sort of share feelings. It's funny. I think they feel comfortable, and maybe I think some introverts maybe feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Sharing sort of it in what seems like an anonymous forum rather than, you know, to, like, their friends or people that know them. I mean, it depends on the situation. But
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think being careful about the ones that are not a good fit for you or that you're getting. I mean, it's really hard. But
it is.
You know, like, because you kind of go on and you want advice, but then you get, a ton of
you get
conflicting
opinion.
Advice.
You don't get advice. You get, I mean, most of the time it's an opinion. And that can really make you feel judged and like you're failing. And I have openly cried after posting things and the responses, and I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
I don't need you to tell. I'm just looking for how to help my kid who doesn't want to swim learn how to swim. I don't need you to tell me he's going to die and it will be my fault. But
right,
he does.
Right. Yeah.
That nightmare keeps me up on my own. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Like,
thank
I don't
you.
Need you to tell me.
I don't need you to tell me that.
Yeah.
Well, book aside, what did you find to be, like, really challenging or surprised you once kids got in your house?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I think I say this in the book somewhere, but, like, my husband and I are both, like, very mellow people. And I think, like, I sort of thought, like, oh, my kids will be extremely mellow.
They're definitely going to have green eyes because we both have green eyes.
Yeah.
And they're, like, going to definitely be mellow.
Mellow.
Yeah.
But, like, necessarily.
That's disappointing when that happens.
Yeah. Them as well. So I think that just getting used to, like, you know, like, a completely different human in your house and, like, their personality and I don't know. It's funny because, like, I think I have friends who were like, oh, well, before I had a kid, like, they had a more rosy idea. But I feel like I had friends who had kids and were like, no, it's hard.
You went into way more dark, way more grounded in, like the shit show it could be.
And then it's funny, on the flip side, I see sometimes people being like, I don't know if I should have kids because, you know, all the real, like, honest parenting stuff out there now. But I think it's better that you're not, thinking it's just going to be super rosy. But I think, like, I think I did have some assumptions maybe about, like, the type of personality of kid. And I think I have two very active, like, you know, lovely boys, but they, you know, are not just, like, quietly
sitting in a corner. Sadly, they don't want to just curl up and read a book at this stage.
I know. Surprising, right?
It's disappointing, I think, is the word you're looking for. I remember. It's sort of like, like, where did this kid's curly hair come from? I have no control over this. And, like, I can remember how disappointed I was that, like, 80% of what I imagined was not what happened. Even worse, that the second kid was nothing like the first. So whatever I had, like, gotten used to doing or whatever worked didn't work.
Right. For the same, like, you think you're like, okay, I've kind of got some stuff figured out now, and then you try it. And then
why isn't this working?
This isn't working.
I just fucking go to sleep.
I know.
I don't understand.
Yeah. And that's
It's
hard too with the advice thing too, because I think I am prone to gathering advice, and then I'd have friends be like, well, try this.
Yeah.
Which worked for their kid, but then it, like, wouldn't work for your kid. So
This is a startling fact. that no one child is like another. And it really hard.
Yeah. To just be like, these are the steps you follow.
Well, that's why books like this are really excellent, because like so many other books, really parenting books, you know, I hope sometimes it doesn't feel that way, come from a place of like wanting to help, right? Wanting to make a new parent feel better.
Right.
But because no one's child is the same, you know, you as a new parent, you read it and you think, I'm somehow broken and my kid, something's clearly wrong with my kid, because A, B, and C, they've given me three options for what my kid could be. Yeah. And my kid's not any of those options.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's frustrating. And now that they're like, yours are now 7 and 9, you said, right? Mm-hmm. Mine are just about to turn 12 in a couple of days, and seven.
Okay.
And that, so like a lot happens during that window. Yeah. And I feel almost like I used to could use them as babies to remove myself. Oh, I've got to go feed.
Yes.
Or, oh, the baby is sick.
Right,
or, whatever.
That was a good trick. Yeah.
Really a good trick.
Yeah.
But with older kids, it's not as easy, because you start to realize that they do need to like go out, and if they have an interest, you should maybe support it. It might be good in the long run.
Right.
But then that puts you out there.
Right, for sure.
And not only does it put you out there like socially, like as an introvert, that suddenly you have to sit in a crowd of people and cheer on your kid at an event or at like some sort of function. But also that's one more, not to get super depressing on the show, but that's like one more event that takes away time.
Right.
From you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that's just like a weird assumption that as parents, we're like way down for that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think that is one of the challenging things. I mean, I think initially when I first had kids, that was one of the challenging things, is just realizing like your time is not your own, you know? And I think, yeah. And that, like, initially, especially after I had my first kid, that was definitely like an adjustment for me. I almost think having my second kid was a little easier, because I was already in it.
Yeah, you already knew that.
Yeah. I sort of knew, you know, even though it's a totally different kid, right?
No, yeah.
Yeah. And then you're right, like finding, and I think it is, as they get older and they want to do different things, or sometimes they don't want to do different things, but you think they should do them, or, you know, you're trying to like balance, like, maybe they should, you know, push themselves a little bit, but like don't be on the schedule. I don't know. So I struggle with that a lot, you know, like what?
Oh, yeah, that's an impossible place to
be. Yeah, but you're right. It is tricky that, and trying to just find time that's your own, or realize that your time is not your own as much as it used to be. And especially this past year, right, with childcare not really being available. And hopefully things seem like they're getting better. But
We all just need to carry wood around with us and knock on it like forever.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever hoodoo or like superstitions you have out there, everybody, cling to them.
Yeah,
we need this.
Yes.
Because I almost have found the slow opening up harder. Because it's very confusing.
Right.
Like, should we go out? Should we not?
No.
Should we? Right. Like,
My
kids aren't old enough to get vaccinated. And
I especially think for like the kids under 12 crowd, it's so, it's still, I think
it's the
like,
same.
It's the same. And this like decision fatigue is completely set in of like, is this okay? Is this not okay? You know?
Well, right. Because as adults who are vaccinated, it's like, well, okay, I'm going to go see a friend.
Yeah.
But how much do I see them? Do I, you know, like, and it's like, you know, we've had a million people say this on the show. It's the old, like, you're not wearing a helmet, but you're expecting your kids to, you know, in a variety of ways. And like, I keep thinking about last summer when there was zero activity,
right?
There was no camp. There was no, it was nothing.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, that summer flew by.
Yeah.
It felt like it went so fast. And I gotta imagine part of that was because we weren't trying to get places all the time, or thinking in terms of this week versus this month versus
Right. I think you're right. It's the same for me because that was the first summer my kids had nothing, you know, no camp, no whatever. And then this summer we're back to, they've been doing some camps.
Yeah.
And I have even, yeah, I have been feeling the like driving all around. And yeah. Like, I think our camps finally ended this week because we'll go back the week after next. But
yeah.
But it is interesting. And actually, it's funny because I think previously I would have sort of feared that scenario of like, no.
Oh, I was terrified. Yeah. I was freaking. Yeah. I just like walked into my husband and I said, I understand that you're working from home. Yeah. You need to understand I am going to turn the television on like all day. We just need to get on the same page right now. Yeah. Don't come out looking at me like I'm supposed to have come up with an activity. Right. Zero activities.
Right. I know. But you're right. It's interesting that it like, yeah, it turned out okay. And maybe went, yeah, a bit faster. And then, I mean, it's so hard because I think there is like this, it's draining to make all these decisions and try to decide like way, you know, does the social benefit of them seeing doing this outweigh the risk of, you know, so hopefully.
And great. Soon. There's still no really good answers.
Yeah, and luckily there's no.
Yeah, luckily.
No clear answer. Not
luckily. No. It's like you already have like all these like shitty choices as a parent in general that you're constantly like questioning and trying to make. And now it's like, and now it's just like, you know, was that not enough?
I know.
Let's just
right.
make it really hot in here.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Let's try this. Yeah.
Let's try this. Do you like this? Oh, you really think that the person next to you is not like able to give you advice because their situation is totally different? You're right.
Yeah.
They can't because it's totally different.
Yes.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for joining us and talking about this stuff. And actually, I want to wrap up on one last question. I like that you said that after writing the book, you were like, oh, some of these, all these things that are true for me.
Yeah.
Was there like, and we've just spent like 20 minutes making fun of advice. So let's end on some advice.
Yeah, okay.
Just kidding. Not advice. Like what would you have wanted to hear before like a kid got in your house? Like what, as an introvert, was there something that like looking back, you're like, God, I just wish somebody had said this.
Right before like having my first kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is sort of a, maybe an introvert thing in general, is just like, it's okay to not want to do everything and keep up with what everyone else is doing. I think I still struggle with this sort of fear of missing out or like we should be doing this because somebody else is doing it. Even like when my kids were babies, I was like, oh, I never made it to baby yoga, you know, like
baby
I never
yoga,
got
by
to
the
baby
way,
yoga.
Was super fucking unfun. I did like one. Okay. I was like, all these moms are like laying there and they're like, their babies are like totally just sitting there with them. Mine is gone. I'm like, how am I supposed to do this? My kid is on the other side of the fucking room.
Anyway. That's partially why I didn't go. My kids crawled really early, right?
So very smart.
I couldn't. And they did not sleep well, so they were not going to just like nap quietly.
Like I'm failing at baby yoga.
But yeah, so I mean, I think just like, it's okay to like, you know, give yourself a break, like do the things you want to do, but you don't have to be doing what everyone else is doing. It's a different experience for everyone, kind of. Oh. And I love, you know, the tagline that you all have of you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job no matter what.
No matter if you showed up for baby yoga or now I'm just thinking of like
baby yoga.
That would be horrible.
I know.
That would be, I don't even want to do like goat yoga despite how much I really want to see a goat.
I know.
But I'm just like, how am I supposed to like be in Shavasana and there's a goat walking around?
Well, I think they like crawl on you too, don't they?
Oh,
like,
no.
On your back.
I'm not in a circus. All right, Julie, thank you so much. We're going to make sure we link everybody up to where. And look, again, everybody, you know where to get books. This is just like a thing I've said now for like 9 years and it's habit.
Right.
We are going to make sure people have a link to where they can find out more about you and more about Babies Don't Make Small Talk. So why should I? The Introvert's Guide to Surviving Parenthood.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Julie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye.
One Bad Mother is sponsored in part by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Look, it doesn't matter who you are or what you have. Life can be stressful. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed or like you're at like a total loss, but if your stress is high, you could probably use the chance to unload. Ain't that the truth? I have always carried a lot that I need to unload. And once kids got in my house, oh, surprise, I needed another adult voice to talk to. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, and it can be more affordable than in-person therapy. All you got to do is take that first step and see if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and One Bad Mother listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/badmother. Have your first session in under 48 hours. At betterhelp.com/badmother.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, everyone. Genius me. Me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
Guys, here is my genius. I drove a 20-foot truck on Tuesday. Tuesday was the day when the movers came to the apartment loading dock to unload the stuff for my parents. Several things that needed to be unloaded also should not go to the apartment. They needed to go to like a storage space. And not going to get into the complications of navigating that operational nightmare. But I will say that part of that involved me walking to the U-Haul and renting a 20-foot truck and driving it and feeling like an absolute badass. And that's it. It was really, really fun. Toot, toot. I'm driving a truck. Toot, toot.
Hi, One Bad Mother. I'm calling with a genius. My youngest kids are 5 and 7 and have always struggled with being told to turn off the TV. So a year ago, they had an obsession with talking to Alexa, and I realized that maybe they would listen better to Alexa. So I started setting timers for screen time, and it's like magic most of the time. So now I set a timer, and I tell the kids when the timer goes off, they need to turn the TV or screens off. And sometimes we use other TV or timers, and it still works. And sometimes they set their own timers. If I tell them you can watch TV for 45 minutes, they'll set their own timer. And they, anytime a timer goes off now, they're like, what does that mean? Do I need to turn the TV off? So just thought that maybe other people could benefit from that. You're all doing a great job, and thanks for the show.
Oh, I plan on benefiting from that. You are a genius. Yeah, you know what? You are completely correct. They don't listen to me. They listen to my Alexa or my Siri, right? Like, there is something definitely depressing about it. But at the same time, I like how empowering you have allowed the situation to become. Plus, it really frees you up from being the bad guy. Now Alexa's the bad guy. So, good job. Take that, Siri. Failures.
Fail, 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 fail!
You suck.
Fail me, me. All right. I was picking a book to read with Ellis at the end of the day. I've known Ellis their whole life. And I am keenly aware of how sensitive Ellis is to any harm that may befall like an animal or like a bug or anything, right? Like Ellis has, you know, gotten very upset about, you know, watching kids feed worms to chickens at a farm. He, like I said, can't eat a cupcake with a face. I made an Oscar the Grouch sugar cookie once. Nope, can't eat that. Why would you make that? Very upsetting. I know all this, but there's this book that we've had forever, and it's really fun for little kids, and I thought it might be fun to reread now, because I think 7-year-olds enjoy, like, talking about super gross stuff, and it's a little book, and it's called That's Disgusting, and so, like, each page is a kid, like, you know, rolling in mud, and then the next page says, That's Disgusting, playing in cat litter, That's Disgusting, right? We're going along. And, you know, picking your boogers and putting them under a chair. That's disgusting. And then I turned the page. I saw it. I saw what was coming. And I quickly flipped the page. But Ella saw it too. And it was eating worms. That's disgusting. And like he started just the image of eating worms. Made him start crying. And I was like, it's okay. This is a silly book. You also wouldn't play in cat litter, blah, 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 blah. This is just, it's like exaggerating, yada, yada, yada. I'm so sorry. I don't know. I'm running out of things to read because conflict has to happen to animals sometimes in a story so that children learn things. I don't know. But I tried to do something silly and absurd. And shame on me. Shame on me.
Hi, Biz and Teresa. I'm calling with a fail. This is a glitter fail.
Oh.
Yes, let's be honest. Is there ever a time when glitter is involved with the genius? Because I'm guessing no.
No.
I think that my husband believed this would be a genius. However, I knew, and I told him, don't give the 4.5-year-old glitter. He said she can do it. Here's a little cookie sheet. She'll keep it on the tray. Okay. I did not feel like being the bad guy. That is my actual fail.
Yep. Yep.
That I just wasn't the bad guy. Because next thing you know, there is glitter everywhere, all over the rug. Now people have been walking in it. The dog's been walking in it. So it is all over the house. Did I mention that our house goes on the market next weekend? So I stayed cool and calm. And when my husband came to tell me he should not have let her use glitter, I just smiled and said, I hope the new homeowners like glitter. Thank you. You guys are doing a good job. And I am definitely not, because we're going to have a lot of sparkle in our lives for the next few weeks. Bye.
Wow. Yeah, no, you're right. The word glitter and fail go hand in hand, like the perfect marriage of failing. I really like that the fail is not being the bad guy. You are right. You have pinpointed what the fail is. We just had a genius in which we were talking about how a parent had let Alexa be the bad guy. Right, by telling them what to do and what not to do. Maybe we should just start programming all of our devices to have, like, no, that's not a good idea. We should not do that. Like, programmed in, and then be like, your partner's like, glitter, what's a big deal? It's fine. They can handle it. And then you can be like, Alexa, what do we say to this? And then Alexa's like, and I'm sorry if I'm turning everybody's fucking devices on right now. Anyway. And then she who shall not be named will say, I do not think that is a good idea. We should not do that now. Thank you. Yes, you're doing a horrible job. I also agree that glitter is a gift to your new homeowners that will never, never end. How thoughtful.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I love you.
video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them?
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play?
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies?
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases,
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work,
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.
Strange planets, curious technology, and a fantastic vision of the distant future. Featuring Martin Starr.
So we're going on day 14. Shuttle still hasn't come.
Aparna Nancherla.
The security system provides you with emotional security. You do the rest.
Echo Kellum.
Can you disconnect me or not?
Hurry Kondabolu.
I'm staying.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Jeffrey McGiver.
Could you play Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
It's The Outer Reach. Stories from beyond.
Now available for free at MaximumFun.org or anywhere you listen.
All right, everybody. Let's snuggle up and listen to a mom have a breakdown.
Hi, this is Mom having a breakdown. And this is a weird one, I guess. Because I break down about my mom. She just wasn't very nice to me today.
Oh.
I don't think she understands, like, all the baggage and how she's treated me. And when I was young, like, how that affects how I see how she's treating me now. And, like, she's a big help. And I really love her, but she wasn't very nice to me today. And she doesn't know that. She doesn't realize, like, to what she says really makes a difference to me. And I try and be really sympathetic or empathetic, I don't know, whatever, because I am not a mom of an adult, a child with children, but I'm a mom, and I've tried to be really clear with her about how I need to communicate with her, and I need to understand that she is not capable of that, and it's just really hard, and so, yeah, so here's to all the moms having problems with being moms. You are all doing a really good job. Thanks for the hotline.
You are doing such an amazing job. And I want to start with the notion of, I know that the other person doesn't have X, Y, or Z in them, that they may not change. And this, like, idea that we have to accept that. There is some truth there, depending on how much you want to accept and what sort of, you know, relationships you want to have in your life. But it doesn't. Accepting it or even saying that that's something you need to accept or telling yourself that you need to accept it is not like a balm, or it does not serve as an eraser for how shitty it still makes you feel. Okay, that you got two things going on. One, your mom does not have a form of communication with you that serves you, that makes you feel good at certain times. And not only does it just hurt when somebody doesn't make you feel good, it's all wrapped up in the complications of, like, it being your mom. And then the other factor in this is understanding that your mom and trying to be empathetic with her and knowing that you love her and knowing that it's really helpful to have her around and that she might not change. And that's really complicated. And that, you know, we can accept that shit all day long, but it doesn't take away the sting and it doesn't take away how we feel. And I just want you to know that I'm so amazed and in awe of all that you've already done in terms of trying to be clear with your mom about what the best ways to communicate are. You are right. We all have our baggage, and there can be words or expressions or responses that like trigger us to make us feel like we are 12 years old again and they are deeply disappointed in us or whatever the situation is. And I just think those aren't easy relationships to put boundaries on. And it is very complicated to be a mom and have a mom. And I just think you are actually doing a remarkable job. And I really see you. And I just think you're fucking great. You know what, everybody? This show is just a reminder that we have just so little control anymore. I mean, who had really had control before they had kids? But at least felt like you had more of the illusion of control. I mean, what did we talk about today? You know, it started off with our check-in and having a new job and are you going to feel guilty? Maybe don't feel guilty, but your kid might miss you. Like, well, I can't control that, right? Like, it's out of my control because we have to have money to do things. And then I talked about the sense of suddenly having very, like, realizing that, like, adding anything to my life, whether it's work or whether it's self-care or whether it's whatever, it's just adding on. It's not like replacing something else. Like, it's not like space opened up. I'm just parking a car on top of another car. And then we talked with Julie and just about, like, you know, the social and the emotional, like, increase that we feel when kids get into our lives. And especially if you, like, for example, you're an introvert, that pressure, that feeling of you're missing out or you're failing or you're not doing a good job as a parent because you don't even really want, not just that you didn't go, but you really didn't fucking want to go to whatever X, Y, or Z event has popped up in relation to your children. It's really okay to say no. And it's really okay if you're doing it differently because every kid is different, and we all are different as parents. And it's not always just what works for the kid. It's what works for you, too. So I guess that is to say none of us are alone in having those feelings. And you are all doing a really remarkable job. Julie's right. There still are no easy decisions. They're just complicated ones. And it's still very hard to mirror our choices on each other. So I see you. Let's go out and see each other. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blue, low down mama blue. Got to low down mama blue, got to low down mama blue, you know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, our producer, Gabe Mara, our husbands, Stephen Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org/OneBadMother. For information about live shows, our book, and press, please check out OneBadMotherPodcast.com.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/join.
Well, Daddy and Baby fussing by, got low down Mama Blue. Oh, said Daddy and Baby fussing by, got low down Mama Blue.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.